Well, good morning, fellow students of the Word. I'm Pastor John Hine, and yes, I have a new mustache. I'm trying to sport the new look that imitates Prophet Paul Mammon. So, it's an absolutely dreadful, awful, disappointing word. I hate to hear it. The word almost. When I was a kid, I saw a kid who was 6'4" out on the basketball court, and I wanted to be just like that kid. My goal was to be 6'4", and guess what it was? What I ended up being? Just a tad over 6'3". Almost! And I'm sure many sports teams have that goal to get to the state tournament. And then what happens? You get to that game just before, and you lose in overtime. Almost. Many a mountain climber trying to climb K2 of all places. Only 1 out of 3 people make it, from what I read. They make all that planning, they exert themselves, and many times they're right at the summit and can see it so close. And then something happens. Almost. For any goal-orientated person, that word is like fingernails going on the chalkboard. It's there, but it's out of reach. It just wasn't meant to be. And so we see in our text today an almost moment with Moses in Deuteronomy 34, verse 1 and 4. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land and said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Just wasn't meant to be. Moses was brought by the Lord to Mount Nebo. The promised land was their destination. It was their goal. The Lord showed him from Mount Nebo the promised land. It was there, just out of reach. So close. But he couldn't enter. Almost. It seems almost like God was sticking in the dagger and twisting it. But was he? For Moses, it was just one mere moment of time. It's like the basketball player in that game just before the state tournament lined up on the free throw line with just 3 seconds left and misses the free throw. Or that person climbing the mountain, losing his step on that glacier and twisting his ankle, the injury keeping him from reaching the top. It always seems like not reaching one's goal comes down to just one little mishap. And for Moses, it was more than just a little mishap. It was something serious. It happened at Meribah is what we're told. The Lord told Moses, after hearing the people complain once again about not having food, not having water, he told them to take his rod and speak to a rock, and the rock would provide water. But you can almost understand Moses and his reaction. You can tell that he's a little annoyed with the people because once again he's listening to them complain. And so what does he do? We're told in Numbers 20 that he took some personal liberty and he said, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly.
So instead of speaking to the rock,
he spoke harshly to the people, "Hear now, you rebels."
Instead of simply taking the rod,
he used that rod to strike the rock twice. And
instead of giving the Lord credit for the water, he said, "Must we bring water to you?"
As a result, the Lord told Moses, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." The consequence. He couldn't go into the promised land. That goal was shut off to him.
And it seemed so harsh. But he had gone too far.
Instead of honoring the Lord and simply following his word, he did things on his own. And it comes down to this. Moses acted on his own impulses. And such is human nature. Throughout Scripture, we see this with King David. He had that glance of lust of Bathsheba and then committed the sin of adultery. For Peter, he was put on the spot, a little bit of peer pressure, you might say, and he denied being one of Jesus' followers. But don't we do the same? That mere instant of anger in which you end up behaving irrationally. That quick word, that harsh word spoken unkindly to someone in your life. That stupid, spur-of-the-moment decision in which you did something selfishly instead of thinking of the needs of someone else. That quick, inconspicuous glance of lust at someone. But these quick little things, they all add up. And then we try to varnish or whitewash them away, but the reality is as it says in the book of James 3, verse 2, we all stumble in many things. Which leads us to Mount Nebo. In verse 1 of our text, it says that Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo. This is an area just due east of the Promised Land. It was a mountain range of sorts, but Mount Nebo was the highest of the summits. It's 2,330 feet. And you could say that Moses would have a wonderful vantage point from there to where you could take in a spectacular view. Just recently, I was in eastern Washington. I was helping my uncle harvest wheat. And we were at the top of Flicker Butte, even much higher than Mount Nebo. And what a wonderful view. Mount Spokane off in the distance, the Selkirk Mountains to the north, a wonderful, beautiful lake, and lots of farmland. Beautiful view. But Moses was able to take in a spectacular panoramic view of everything before him there on Mount Nebo. Looking off to the west, he could see Jericho, the city that would soon fall. Looking off to the south, he could see the vast land of where the Dead Sea is. And then looking off to the west and somewhat to the north, he could see the lush, fertile Jordan River Valley. But then even off to the distance, he could see the hill country where Bethlehem would be, and eventually Jerusalem. All this Moses would take in, but then die. And the Lord himself would bury him. Who knows where his grave is? It was almost. And then death. And yet, while Moses died, he did reach the promised land, For Moses is even listed among all those heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Moses took this all in because he trusted in the one who would soon come. He knew that there would be one who would tread that land before him and do his ministry here on earth, but ultimately go off into one of those hills in the distance and be sacrificed for the sins of the world. He would be the one who would have compassion on all of us who have those ugly, sinful impulses, acting on all those impulses that were against God's will. In fact, he would be the one with an entirely different impulse, a holy impulse, his grace. That is what would drive him to that hill on Calvary, by making the remission of sins complete and giving us that gift of eternal life. Every chapel, you guys are sitting on Mount Nebo. And it doesn't matter if you're sitting on that back row where you're above everybody, or even on this row down below. You're taking in the same view. You're looking west. And I'm not talking about the other side of the gym. You're looking beyond the river. You're looking beyond Jericho. And you're seeing that land on which our Savior tread. And you have seen all those promises that the Lord has fulfilled in Christ. The Scriptures hold out to you that which is not out of reach, but that which is certain, your salvation through Christ Jesus. It's a goal that is meant to be, all because of what the Lord God did for you. In Christ, there is no almost. And in fact, in Christ, almost becomes an absolutely beautiful word. Because while heaven is perhaps off in the distance for some of us, it may be very near for some of us, we look forward to that destination. And don't we all have nagging reminders of that? For me, I've lived with chronic pain for the last 6 years, and probably will for the rest of my life. A nagging reminder of what lies ahead. But for some of us, it might be the sorrows in life that you have. Maybe the death of a loved one that you're now missing in your life. It's a nagging reminder that almost is soon to come. We know that in Christ, that almost is a certain reality, because God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And in Christ, we know that in the meantime, that if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. And in Christ, he tells us so beautifully that almost is on the horizon. Because he himself says, "Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. We sing hymn number 9, verse 3 and 5. Hymn number 9, verse 3 and 5.